Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this week, Chicago Public Schools are back in session. My next guest knows a thing or two about the first week of school. It used to be his job to make sure the schools opened on time. Arnie Duncan ran the Chicago Public Schools from 2001 to 2009. In 2009, he took his skills to the White House as a Secretary of Education under President Obama. He served in the cabinet till last year. Duncan's career covers everything from educational policy and the installment of Common Core to selective enrollment, charter schools, and, of course, teacher contracts. Duncan's now back in Chicago setting up the office for the Emerson Collective, a policy advocate founded and run by Lauren Paul Jobs, and he joins me tonight. Secretary Duncan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Pick your brain a little bit about what it's like to be the CEO of CPS in the first week of school. Does it bring back good memories, bad memories?
It actually brings back great memories, and it's funny. Every year we would go out, we would hand out backpacks, we would, knock on kids' doors and, get them back to school. And I just loved doing that. We'd go to the different neighborhoods, we'd go back the week after school started if some kids didn't show up and knock on their doors again and get some surprise looks there. But I love this time of year. I love the energy. I've done a couple small things, recently, just at, back-to-school picnics, helping out a little bit and handing out, backpacks. But I love this time of year, so it brings back great memories. And it's a time of hope. It's a time of optimism. And sometimes these summers are a little bit too long for kids, frankly.
Yeah, right.
Great to have them back in school.
There are issues that are at play here this year for Chicago Public Schools when you think of strikes and authorizations and teachers' contracts, all the kind of stuff. For you, looking back on your tenure, were those kind of things important for you to settle before the school year started? Was it important for you to have a handle on all the business of schools before the school year started?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we were lucky enough to be able to do that. But I just think, unfortunately, it's like a family. When adults fight, kids lose. And for me, it's so sad to see adults in so much conflict right now and, frankly, so much dysfunction. And our kids here in Chicago just deserve the very best. And lots of kids come from, tough, situations. Lots of kids live below the poverty line. That's not their fault. And families are poor because parents didn't get a great education. And so I just think we need to, as adults, find ways to come together. Not that these issues are easy by any stretch. I know how tough they are. I know how complex they are. Mm-hmm. But we have to work together to give every child a chance to have a great, great education. And if we do that, then the sky's the limit. And I don't care where they come from. I don't care how much money they have or don't have. I don't care, what's going on in the neighborhood. If we give kids access to great teachers and great principals and technology and after-school programs, they're going to do amazing. They're going to do amazing things. I've seen it all my life. But when we don't provide those things, we as adults, we perpetuate poverty. We perpetuate social failure. And that's not something I think anybody wakes up in the morning and wants to do. And so whatever it takes for adults to work together, to compromise, to be on the same page for the sake of our kids, we have to look at what's at stake today.
How do you do that when you have a situation like we do here in Chicago where it's more and more of the haves and the have-nots, more inequality when it comes to not only education but just resources in general, and schools and city budgets and state budgets continue to shrink when it comes to money to provide for schooling, for public schooling?
Yeah.
So how do you accomplish the idea of giving kids a quality education when all those factors are lining up against it?
Well, it's a great question, and I don't want to act like there's an easy answer because there isn't. But what I will say is this. What I have long believed is that the real challenge, I don't want to say the enemy, but the real challenge is in Springfield, where there's a tremendous lack of equity in funding. Illinois is one of the most inequitable states in terms of funding. So much of this is done at the local property tax level. So children who happen to be born, 4 or 5 miles north of us along Lake Michigan, Wilmette and Winnetka, children who are born with so much get sometimes 2 to 3 times as much spent on their education each year than children who happen to be born in Chicago. And it is, to your point, fundamentally unfair and fundamentally inequitable. And what I would just desperately love is all of us in Chicago, all of us, to lock arms and demand change in Springfield. Instead, we seem to spend lots of time recently fighting over crumbs here and not trying to grow the pie and go to Springfield together in solidarity. And when people in Springfield see so much dysfunction in Chicago, it gives them an excuse to continue a funding system that is fundamentally broken and I would say is morally bankrupt. And we have to remove those excuses. So again, this fight is not easy. It's not won overnight, but you got to fight the right fights. I think too often here recently in Chicago, people are fighting over crumbs and not seeing the bigger picture.
Well, I mean, one of the issues in the last 20, 25 years has just been the rising debt with the school system, especially here in Chicago when it comes to pension payments, and it continues to balloon. We see that with the teacher's pension payment that needs to be paid out every year in the budget. For you, as someone who has been a part of Chicago Public Schools as the CEO for a decade, how do you reverse that? How do you move past the idea or move forward with that surmounting debt, with that element at play that continues to keep the system down?
Yeah, and again, you just have a funding system that is fundamentally inequitable. Without getting too technical, basically taxpayers here in Chicago pay for pensions of every other teacher in the state, and they pay for Chicago's teachers' pensions. And that doesn't happen in other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. That's not fair. It's fundamentally not right. When I was there, we actually sued the state, sadly, unsuccessfully. We sued the state because of how broken the education funding formula was. But that's the fight. That's the public fight that needs to be fought, and we need to be loud and clear and all on the same page. And if you win that, then it gives you a chance. If you don't win that, if you're not even in that game, then you are, to your point, almost in a zero-sum game where you're, it's impossible to win. And you can fight each other and claw and scratch each other to death, and it still doesn't solve the problem. And just when you have limited, you know, time and energy and political capital and resources, you have to fight the most important fights, and that's not what I see happening today, unfortunately.
Arne Duncan is the former Secretary of Education under President Obama and also the former CEO of Chicago Public Schools here in Chicago. He's talking with us tonight. One of the things, you know, at the national level when we talk about education is Common Core. I mentioned it in the intro. I wanted to get your take, now that you're out of office, where you think Common Core is at when it comes to, is it meeting its expectations, its goals? And do you think Common Core has a future? Because it's been very controversial, and there's a lot of schools and administrators, even here in Chicago, that have thrown their hands up saying, this is not for us. How do you move something forward with as much controversy around it?
Yeah, and again, I think it's important to really understand the facts and take out the name, take out whatever, the label, take out the political, you know, debate. The question really for me, Justin, is do we need to have high standards for all of our kids? And that standard simply being if they graduate from high school, they don't have to take remedial classes in college.
So that's the idea behind Common Core, is just bringing these standards up. Right.
Very simple idea. And there's lots of talk now about the cost of college, which is too high, and that's a real issue. But the dirty secret here, Justin, is that we spend as taxpayers and as parents, we spend billions of dollars each year for young people who have graduated from high school, who go to college, who aren't prepared, and have to take remedial classes, which means they're paying college tuition to take high school classes again. Mm-hmm. That is a lose-lose-lose proposition. Just saying that young people, again, regardless of where they live, whether it's, you know, inner city urban or, you know, rural or remote or on a Native American reservation, that the young people work hard and play by the rules and get good grades, we should be able to look them in the eye and say, yes, you were prepared to actually go to college and take college level classes. I don't think that's too controversial.
Well, yeah, I've always heard this, and this is, I don't know how much of this is an old wives' tale and how much of this is legitimate and factual, but where does America, you know, where does it rank when it comes to the rest of the rest of the world, to China, Europe? I mean,
no,
are we at the
question.
Right? Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. What is it?
No, it's a great question. And the truth is, at every level of the education pipeline, we are not where we need to be. So I'll just walk you through quickly. In terms of access to high quality early childhood education, which I say everywhere is the best investment we can make, we rank like 28th, 29th. It's a dismal record. And other nations just take that responsibility much more seriously to make sure that their young 3 and 4 year olds are entering kindergarten at 5 ready to be successful. In terms of sort of K-12 math and, you know, math and reading, science results, depending on the, you know, the grade or the test, we're somewhere usually between 15th and 30th. And then on the higher education side, I think our goal should be to lead the world in college graduates. I don't see any downside there. We did a generation ago. We've flatlined, and about 11 or 12 other countries have passed us by. And again, so at every level, early childhood, K-12, higher ed, I don't think this is a time where we can be resting on our laurels and beating our chests and saying, you know, mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to go back to your original point, I worry tremendously about income inequality. I worry tremendously about young people having access to middle-class jobs and keeping those jobs in the United States. And we live in a global economy. We live in a flat world. And those jobs are going to go to where the best jobs are going to go to where the best educated workforce is. And I desperately want that to be in the United States of America. But other countries are out educating us. They're out investing. They're out innovating. And that's, for me, very, very troubling.
You know, some of the work that you're setting up at Emerson Collective is really centered around violence. That has become a big ticket issue here in Chicago. It has been for years, even when you were here at CEO of CPS. We've had so much about safe passage, about making sure that kids are able to have an environment where they can learn. How do you see violence and education at the intersection? Are they connected in that way?
Well, I'll just say, of all the issues I dealt with when I led the Chicago Public Schools, by far the hardest, and nothing else frankly came close, was just the devastating level of violence that our children faced here in the city. And on average, we buried a child every 2 weeks due to gun violence. The vast majority of these kids were innocent victims. And I can't tell you how difficult it was to go to funeral after funeral, to try to go to homes and comfort families who had lost their son or daughter, to go to classrooms where there was an empty desk and try and make some sense out of what was obviously absolutely senseless. And, you know, my wife and I have two young kids, and I just can't imagine what these other families go through. And I think, in hindsight, very, very naively, I just assumed when I left Chicago to go to D.C. that it couldn't get any worse. And obviously, in fact, it has. So coming home has been bittersweet. On one hand, you know, our family's thrilled to be back in Chicago. On the other hand, it's just a very, very tough time in the city. And so I thought, you know, for me to try and help out a little bit and give back to a city and the people who have given me so much, you know, my entire life, this was the most important issue that I could work on. And we're working on, you know, particularly in the South and West Sides, trying to create, you know, jobs at scale for young people and give them a chance to make some money in the legal economy and gain those skills.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Okay.
We funded about 4,700 summer jobs this summer for teens.
And from being on the outside, from you know, your perch at the White House, but then also from CEO, and now coming in the private sector to say, okay, I'm going to help out. Can you see the lasting impact of the educational system on these kids, on these young adults that decide to go into the illegal trade, that decide to go into violence, to be in gangs? Do you see the correlation between how they were treated or how they were let down maybe through the CPS system and how they got to where they're at?
Well, I'll just put it like this, Justin. I'm spending a lot more time, frankly, than I would like to in Cook County Jail and meeting with a number of the young men there and a number of the shooters, quite frankly. And really just trying to understand their world as best I can. And it's an obvious point, but I'll just make it. Of all the young men I'm talking to there, not one has a college degree. Mm-hmm. So where we educate, where we help young people not just graduate from high school, but, you know, go on to college, the overwhelming majority are going to do very, very positive things. And those young men who didn't have those opportunities, who didn't have those supports, who didn't have a great educational, you know, opportunity or mentors, or access to jobs in the legal economy because they have to, you know, sometimes support themselves from a very early age. I don't even necessarily think they make bad choices. I think they make a choice out of last resort because there are no other choices. There are no other options. And I think what we have to collectively do is create a whole nother set of options, economic opportunity, better education opportunity, in the legal economy. Yeah. And I think the vast majority of these guys will make a rational choice to do the right thing.
Well, we'd love to have you back now that you're here in Chicago to talk more about your work at the Emerson Collective. Arne Duncan, the former Secretary of Education at the White House and, of course, the former CEO of Chicago Public Schools. Secretary Duncan, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks. Have a great day. Take care now.